Our scriptural lesson for this day, as we celebrate this week of the fourth Sunday after Trinity, is the epistle reading assigned for this week, found in the eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning at the 18th verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole of creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Here ends the reading of our scripture lesson. You may be seated. Dear fellow redeemed, our text today and our reading today has a very comforting message for us. It is one that touches on the reality of each one of us faces, whether we are facing a sickness, an injury, or perhaps even the loss of a loved one, or being confronted by the own reality that we too someday will die. The Holy Spirit, through the apostle here today, would have us to know then this very comforting message, that the present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yet there are so many in the world who are struggling with suffering. In the efforts to eliminate poverty in the world, to make health care available to all, while good pursuits may not always acknowledge this reality. So no matter who you are, no matter how you may encounter suffering in this life, there will be certainly times when it will hit us each in our own lives. You know, this perhaps comes home to rest a little more in the last few weeks as we recognize a great number of celebrities that seem to be passing away. And those of you or us who have been from the Charlie's Angels era perhaps recognize one of them. Certainly Michael Jackson passed away. Ed McMahon passed away. But what was interesting about Farrah Fawcett's passing is that she allowed for filming of her last days. Barbara Walters did a special on this, as she shared some of the filming that was done by a friend of Farrah Fawcett. It went right into those places where she received treatment for her cancer. It showed even as she was sickened by the effects of chemo, and ultimately filmed the time when they shaved those golden locks of blonde hair because it was falling out because of her treatments. And yes, it was even recounting the very last words that this person spoke to her family, to her friends. With these filmings and this documentation of what was said, there are some striking phrases that kind of reveal to us what they were feeling, or what she was feeling in particular, and what she believed. And what is striking is that ultimately it unveils a startling emptiness, a lack of trust in a Savior God, and an absence of hope. Human suffering hits all strata of the human existence, from the poor to the very rich, from the obscure to the super famous. There is no discernment. It hits us all. Something is something that happens, yes, even to us Christians. The devotion writer Locke tells us that here in the world, the children of God will suffer. But as Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, he would have us to direct ourselves away from the suffering of this world to the hope that we have in our Savior God. A hope that is not found in some clinic that is built to the very sky, a flat plain near a town or in the middle of a town. It's not found in some obscure city where some alternative treatment holds some hope of cure for a sickness. No, this comfort is based in the sure comfort that can only come from the very one who created us. And that's why Paul would direct us, as he did the Thessalonians, to these thoughts. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's why Paul reminds us that suffering and what it really is. It's a reminder. A reminder of the very things that we see in the world. It reminds us of the fall into sin and the curse on sin. It reminds us not to place our hope in this life. In fact, he goes on to say, it's something very different. For you and me, for all who are in Christ, suffering is to be viewed as a transition, much like childbirth. Even so, as a mother goes into the labor pains and bears a child, when that child is born, the thought, the remembrance of those pains soon fade away. Maybe not ultimately in this life, but comparably, as that child, that bundle of joy, is delivered to her arms. Yes, suffering is but a transition. It's a reminder of what is to come. And it also does something else. There's an additional assurance that today, as we read this text, we're reminded that the things we see around us in the world, the futility of the world, is connected to the fall into sin. It's connected to the fact that God, the Heavenly Father, subjected this whole world to futility in the hope that we might turn from this life, turn from this world, to the one who is our Creator and our only Redeemer. Let's be absolutely honest. If God hadn't subjected this world to futility, would we look to God? Certainly we recognize that if life is smooth, everything is going well, no sickness, and every part of the road of life is without bump or detour, there are few who would turn to God. But as we are confronted by the futility of this world, as we see accidents that should have never happened, as we see lives totally changed or perhaps taken in a glimpse or in a moment from this world, we may wonder, what is man thinking? That he can eliminate suffering in this world? But the reality is that God has done something. In love for us, in thanks be to God that he did not wait for man to turn to him, but in love, in subjecting the world to sin, promised the Savior who came into this world to live the holy life that you and I had failed to live. To then take and lay that holy life down as the one all-time sacrifice that would bear the penalty, the punishment that you and I deserve because of our sins. And he laid that punishment and the death that was due to that sin in the grave. And he rose from the dead. We have a gracious promise then here given. That because Christ has come into the world, we have not only hope, we have the sure gift of eternal life. As he calls us through his word to repentance and to faith in this Son of God, this Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, we know we do have hope. And that as we view suffering in the world, we recognize it as a transition to something better, where there is no tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. And we all, in glorious array, white robes provided by our Heavenly Father, can glorify our God. Yes, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And so we can then continue to dwell in this life, in this world, knowing what God has done for us, that the futility that we see around us is simply to drive us to place our trust in God rather than man or in this world. And it would lead us to see the glorious heavenly kingdom that he has prepared for his children. You, as workers here at Bethany Lutheran College, and those who visit, be aware that there is suffering in the world, and that we have a role of pointing people to this very glorious deliverance of our Heavenly Father. We have a role in delivering that message that gives hope in the face of sickness, suffering, and death, and that we glorify our God as we share this mighty deliverance. May the Lord truly bless you as you continue to serve him and to look to him for your help and strength. Amen. Let's arise as we continue with the prayer for the day. And I would ask you to turn to page 172. Page 172, the first prayer in the right upper column, prayers for the dying. And let us then bow our heads and hearts in prayer. And let us pray together. O Lord, teach me to remember that I will die, and that here I have no enduring home. Make me mindful of the shortness of my life, and keep me ever mindful of my death, that I may live and die in this world, not to myself, but to you. Grant that I look forward to the day of my departure and the return of your Son, Jesus Christ, with a cheerful faith, that I may proceed toward my death in a holy walk and a godly life, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and by the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. We close with the final two verses of 538, starting with Apostles, Martyrs, and Prophets there.